From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This week, it's for the monthly visit to Naps Chat by National Association of Postal Supervisors Executive Vice President Ivan Butts. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Ivan.
Thanks, Bob.
First, before we start with Ivan, I have a couple of news items for our listeners. This past week, the U.S. Postal Service Inspector General concluded its investigation of an allegation of fraudulent mail ballots in the state of Pennsylvania and found absolutely no evidence of such fraud. This slander against the Postal Service and its employees was based upon the now recanted statement of a disgruntled mail carrier. Subsequent to our recording last week's podcast, PMG DeJoy testified before the House Appropriations Subcommittee that has jurisdiction over the meager amount of federal funds actually appropriated to the Postal Service, that funding for overseas voting and mail for the blind, totaling about $320 million, will be requested by the Postal Service. This is the second hearing in as many weeks at which the PMG testified. At the hearing before the Appropriations Subcommittee, the PMG continued to deflect questions about the anticipated release of the Postal Service's 10-year strategic plan. The chair of the full Appropriations Committee, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut, characterized the policies thus far initiated by the Postmaster General as making the Postal Service wholly unrecognizable. This was not meant to be a compliment. Some sparks flew during an exchange between Representative Brenda Lawrence, who serves on the House Oversight and Reform Committee, as well as the Appropriations Committee. She took the PMG to task for his recently announced reorganization and his failure to brief the House Oversight Committee on those plans and the potential impact of that reorganization on postal performance. DeJoy responded that the Postal Service and the conditions under which it operates changed dramatically since the time Representative Lawrence retired from the Postal Service in 2008. Representative Lawrence responded that she was not naive and kept her finger on the pulse of the Postal Service since her retirement. Now, Ivan, I want to ask you a question about this exchange between the Postmaster General and Brenda Lawrence. This is not a good place to be. What I mean is that it's not wise to engage in warfare with the primary institution that you will need to restore and reinvigorate the Postal Service, is it?
No, Bob. It's not really the most ideal way to build a relationship, again, with the legislative body that you're going to rely on to help you in moving the agency forward and the sustainability of the Postal Service. One thing I know, Representative Lawrence, who's a former NAPS member, manager in the Postal Service who retired, has extensive knowledge of postal operations from her on-the-boots experience and then from the relationship she maintains with postal leaders around, not just around from her district, but around the state of Michigan, and then the relationship we have built over the years. So Representative Lawrence is certainly well versed and understands the Postal Service and the operations of the Postal Service. Again, there's one thing I said about our support on her in her candidacies over the years and is that she's a congressional leader who knows where the Postal Service's bones are buried as far as with leadership and the decisions made.
Now that we got that out of the way, because we're going to be engaging, we are going to, as postal supervisors, going to be engaging with Congress and during the next month, right after our legislative training seminar. We're about a month away from it, Ivan, the first ever virtual legislative training seminar. Could you talk about the importance or the LTS's importance to every EAS-level postal employee?
Yeah, sure, Bob. Our legislative training seminars are a yearly event that we usually fly in to the D.C. area, hold a meeting, and then we go up on that Tuesday or Wednesday and on the Hill in force. 500 to 600 of us going to visit legislative leaders. That's always it's a big issue, a big thing up here to do that and to engage your leaders in that manner. We've been highly successful over the years, and you're right. This is the first time we ever had to do one virtually due to the pandemic, and now and also I guess in addition to the state. Of this beltway area now with a lot of fencing up and things of that nature due to events on January 6th still in place. So we're going to do this virtually. Again, there's a lot of other organizations doing virtual events, so it's not nothing new to do a virtual event. It's new for us because we never had to do it. But, you know, we've been working hard on it, Bob, and Rebecca have been working hard on putting the things together, making sure all the pieces are in place that we can have a successful legislative training seminar virtually. So, you know, still go online. I encourage you all to go online and register for the virtual LTS. There is no cost. You know, you and your members can log on and participate in the LTS. And Bob, I believe we just sent out information this week on starting to schedule your virtual meetings for that following week with your legislators to go over the information. I believe all the information that we normally have will be up on the website within the next week.
Actually, it's going to be posted tomorrow on Friday, which is because we're taping this on Thursday. Today is the 18th, so it'll be posted tomorrow on the 19th.
Okay, so you see, you have all your information well ahead of time, so you can study, you can review, and be prepared to meet with your legislators. We have a lot we have to do. Again, I've been saying it a lot when I talk about legislation. We have to try to get done in this short period of time that we have to do it in. So we need everybody's support and coming out for this virtual LTS and then supporting our virtual meetings with legislators in the following week.
Now, we have a number of real movers and shakers who have agreed to address our virtual legislative training seminar. Could you talk a little bit about who we've invited and accepted our invitation?
Sure. I'll start first and foremost with a representative who I just have come to really, really respect for not only his support of the Postal Service, but his fire. If you watch committee hearings where he talks to the Postmaster General, he really has a fire for people, for serving. And that's Jerry Connolly. Jerry Connolly, he will be participating in an informal roundtable discussion on postal operations with us. And just so looking forward to that. As you know, Representative Connolly recently introduced two bills in support of managers and management of the Postal Service, and we're really so appreciative of that. On March 8th, he introduced H.R. 1623. That's the amendment to modify the procedures for negotiation, pay, and benefits for supervisory and other managerial personnel of the Postal Service, something that is which is really landmark legislation for us to work and partner with him to get introduced not just once but twice, and now having to get introduced in this environment where we can really make some headway with it. We're just totally excited about that. Again, this is birthed out of talking to you guys and hearing from you over the years talking about our pay system and how broken it is and how inefficient it is and how unfair it is. And then to have that really validated by a fact-finding panel really has fueled our energies up here to really move and get this legislation to fix Title 39. Initiated and flowing, and now we have it. So now we just got to keep driving and keep driving it down the field. But we need your help to do that. Please, we'll be talking to Representative Connolly about that. And then the other piece of legislation he recently entered was H.R. 1624. with co-sponsors David McKinley, and now I see Brian Fitzpatrick has also signed on to that, which is great. And that's to extend the rights of to MSPB to all EAS. As you know, guys know, it's about 7,500 managers or other supervisory personnel, not managers, other supervisory personnel who do not have rights to go to MSPB. They have to follow the Elm 650 hearing process, and which is very disparative compared to the MSPB process. So we feel this is really great leadership, really de minimis in cost as far as, you know, scoring it. So this legislation that we should be able to move on to attach with other legislation and really get moved forward. And just real continue a shout out and thoughts for Mary Burkhart, who was the one who really kind of brought this issue to light and made it effort.
Ivan, before we move on to the other speakers, I just want to underscore the HR 16 and HR 1624 and remind our listeners that in the presidential campaign, we sent out a candidate questionnaire, which that then candidate Biden responded to and responded favorably to issues such as changes to the consultative process and appeal rights for MSPB. So unlike in the past, we have someone in the White House who's supportive of these two major issues.
Yeah, absolutely right, Bob. And that's critical, obviously, because, you know, if it's a bill, it ultimately has to reach the president's desk and get signed. So it's great that we had that support, pledged support of then candidate Biden, now President Biden. Again, just more reasons for us to really kind of get behind this and get fired up behind not just our LTS, but the legislative efforts that we have on the table. So I'm going to circle back to that because there's something else I need to say about that. But again, we also have Senator Gary Peters, who's the chairman of the Homeland Security, the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, which provides oversight for the Postal Service. So we're definitely looking forward to meeting with him. Mr. Senator Peters has been very instrumental and cooperative and coordinative with NAPS over the past few months over a lot of issues, especially the service issues that we were seeing trying to deal with and address in December.
Also, his committee is going to have a hearing, an upcoming hearing, on the three new Board of Governors nominees. That includes our old friend Ron Strowman and two other nominees, Amber McReynolds from the Vote at Home Initiative, and Mr. Hajar, who is a former general counsel for the American Postal Workers Union. They're going to come before his committee, so I'm sure he's going to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're looking forward to a speedy confirmation of the solid candidates to fill out our Postal Board of Governors and then get some stability in that area and then as we continue to move forward. So again, looking forward to Senator Peters. We have been very appreciative of his efforts thus far. He's been very very open with us and we've been working with the staff on a number of issues currently, trying to support them as far as data analytics and questions to ask and things of that nature. And then we also will be having the newly appointed chairman of the Postal Regulatory Committee, Mike Kubianda, who was appointed on January 25th to take over for Chairman Robert Taub. So we're definitely looking forward to him and his thoughts and some of the initiatives that he wants to bring to the table to help with the sustainability of the Postal Service and maybe bring some things to finalization as far as the plans and things of that nature.
The interesting thing about Mike Kubianda is at one point in his career when he worked on Capitol Hill, he actually reported to Ron Strowman, who was the staff director of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform under the chairmanship of Ed Towns of Brooklyn. And talking about people who knows where the bones are buried, you were speaking about Brenda Lawrence, formerly. Mike Kubianda not only worked on Capitol Hill, he worked for a short period of time at the Postal Service and worked for the Inspector General of the United States Postal Service. So talking about where the operational structure and operational features of the Postal Service, I can't think of anyone who's better equipped to be chairman of the Postal Regulatory Commission.
Again, it's a tremendous appointment. Actually, Mr. Kubianda, he was one of the speakers I wanted to get at our in-person LTS, and we had talked about that, and he was very amenable to doing that. So hopefully, although we'll have him virtually this year, hopefully when we get to a place where we can have our in-person LTS, we can get him to come and speak to us again.
One of the novelties of this year's LTS and its subsequent meeting with Capitol Hill folks is that we're going to be using the Zoom platform. So one of the exercises we're going to be demonstrating to our participants is a model Zoom meeting with a member of Congress. Can you talk a little bit about that, what we expect to come out of that operation?
Yeah, well, you know, for the past couple of years, for a number of years, in the critiques that we would send out, we would give at the end of our in-person LTS, we would ask what could we do better. Almost every year we would get a handful of ones that would say, let us have do a role play. So for the past 3 years now, we've been doing just that. We've been having a role play of a congressional visit to help our first timers see the process, get a little more acclimated with it, get a little more comfortable with it. Carl Walton, for the past 3 years, has been coordinating this effort for us and has done a tremendous job of setting up our role play exercise. So we actually kind of, you know, we had to change gears a little bit. So now Carl is going to work with his team to come up with, you know, the best way for us to hold a Zoom meeting with our legislators. And so I'm definitely looking forward to that because that's a different little spin on it. And hopefully it'll help you guys get better, a little better acclimated with holding a virtual meeting, for virtual Zoom legislative meeting with legislators, and how the best way to facilitate that.
I apologize for that. Somebody was notifying me of something on the on my web, but on the role playing, we're going to have an Allie Hildebrand playing congressional staff person, being the target of our role-playing activities, and she is the postal staff person for our good friend Congressman David McKinley from West Virginia, who was an original co-sponsor of the Merit Systems Protection Bill. Now, I know this is a little bit of a segue. You had the opportunity this week to speak with both Republican co-sponsors of the respective bill for consultative rights as well as the bill for MSPB rights, and that is Congressman Mike Bost and Congressman Dave McKinley. Can you share some insight about the conversations you had with both these very NAPS-friendly members of Congress?
Yeah, we had great conversation on those two Zoom meetings we had this week, especially with Mr. McKinley. You know, really, he was actually looking for ways to bridge a bipartisan partnership to move legislation forward. And one of the things I emphasize with them is that, you know, I think to either build this bipartisan bridge for Democrats and Republicans to cross over, it needs to be something that they both have tremendous buy-in on. And there's no bigger issue than Postal Service to do that. There's the Postal Service, it goes across rural, urban, suburban areas, Democrat line, Republican lines. There is no more bipartisan issue than postal issues. So if you want to, if there's a desire to build a bipartisan relationship from the two chambers, or the two political parties in the chambers, that's the issues I think they should look at. They should look at our postal issues, on postal reform, on 1623, on HR 1624, on those bills that should really unify them, give them a unified platform to follow that's really supported by over 90% of America. When you talk about supporting the Postal Service, over 90% of America supporting the Postal Service. And well, Mr. Boss is just, you know, he's a former Marine, so you know that kind of says it all. But Mr. Boss is definitely a straight shooter, really tremendous, tremendous supporter. I'm glad we kind of had been developing this partnership over the last couple of years with him. And again, he's committed. One thing, you know, he really let us know that he was 100% committed to the Postal Service and to this legislation he signed on with us, you know, to help us fix our pay, you know, and we're really appreciative of that.
One of the other major issues we're going to be talking about at LTS is postal restoration on a legislative platform and how Mr. McKinley was expressing it needed to be there was a yearning for bipartisanship in postal legislation. Now, the chairwoman Carolyn Maloney has floated a discussion draft that includes three parts: a discussion draft of a postal restoration bill. One part of it deals with enhanced performance monitoring through the Postal Regulatory Commission. That's one area. The second area is an integrate FEHBP and Medicare for future retirees of the Postal Service. And I say future retirees of the Postal Service. And a repeal of the onerous retiree health prefunding requirement, which is identical to H.R. 645, which was introduced by Congressman Peter DeFazio. Those are the three components of a postal restoration package. Maloney wants it to be bipartisan. You spoke with the ranking member, a ranking Republican on the committee, and Mr. Comer. He wants it to be bipartisan also. There is some delay because they were waiting, at least from Mr. Comer's perspective, they were waiting for the Postmaster General to release his 10-year plan. There's some discussion about whether the 10-year plan could complicate postal legislation. In the great scheme of things, this three-pronged approach that Ms. Maloney is promoting in the name of bipartisanship, is that going to be enough to restore the Postal Service to its former glory?
I don't know. I had to take a long pause on that one, Bob. One to absorb everything you're asking and formulate, I guess, what some may call a politically correct answer. And I guess that would be, you know, we have to wait and see. I think we have to wait and see. I can't say that it will be enough because there are so many things that we need to address. There have been so many various impacts, and I wanted to say attacks, but I won't say attacks, various negative impacts to the infrastructure of the Postal Service, mostly kind of inflicted by the leadership of the Postal Service over the years. And again, this is not saying, you know, over the past year. I'm talking about over the years. And now we're facing this impact to the support structure of the Postal Service. So now we had these infrastructure impacts. Now we have this support structure impact. I don't know if a simple three-prong postal reform bill is going to fix all that's wrong. But we have to start somewhere. I do agree with that.
I want to come back to LTS, that something that our members are used to, and that is we have a big push for SPAC, for the Supervisors Political Action Committee at our LTS. Ordinarily, participants at the LTS would come up to the SPAC table to make contributions or to participate in auctions for products that are donated or contributed by other members of NAPS. How are we dealing with that aspect of LTS this time around?
Yeah, thanks for that, Bob. Actually, we're in conjunction with our virtual LTS, we're going to have a virtual SPAC fundraiser. We were working on different vehicles and platforms that we could use to run this, but I think we really secured a really great platform that's going to allow us to do it. If you go to our NAPS.org website and go to the legislative page, you'll see, the LTS page, Legislative Training Seminar page of the legislative tab, under the legislative tab, you'll actually see the lineup, some of the lineup of the gifts that we have available for auction and the process that, you know, we're using where you could actually purchase your tickets and select items you want to bid on. And we have a variety of items come already and more coming in that will be added to the website. And we might even have a special day of LTS items also. But don't tell nobody.
Okay, there's an attractive, I saw there was a ninja cooker I noticed that was on the website.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the Ninja XL cookers, which I have to, you know, I guess I'll give my own endorsement for because I had to buy Lori one for Christmas because she wanted it so bad. It's really, really a great machine, cooks excellent food, tender, flavorful. I mean, it's really nice. Lori loves it, so. I think you will, too, if you want to win. If you win that, I think you'll love it, too.
And whoever wins that Ninja XL cooker could cook for their entire branch. They'd be able to do it for Memorial Day, a Memorial Day barbecue using the Ninja XL.
Well, sure. Looking the way the vaccines are going, maybe we will be having Memorial Day. I know the president said maybe 4th of July, but maybe it will be Memorial Day.
Well,
but I also, in conjunction with that, though, I want to talk to you about not the SPAC fundraiser, which is very important. We had some issues, not issues, you know, our SPAC has taken a hit over the last year. We've done a lot. We've been very effective with what we did, but we weren't able to have all the events last year that we had that generated the funds that really fuels our SPAC. So we really missed out on that. So this virtual fundraiser, I'm really asking everyone to kind of log on, go on the website, look, bid, you know, put in for a raffle. You got the executive board raffle for cash cards. You got, like I said, the Ninja XL. You got a very nice men's dress watch, Bose headphones, a pro GoPro. I mean, all kinds of great stuff that we're raffling off for you guys. So go on there and take a look at it and help us build back up our coffers so we can keep our legislative efforts moving forward. And also in conjunction with that, we've been looking at the data of our payroll deduction and our OPM contributors. We call that our Drive for Five initiative. That once you're in the Drive for Five initiative, you're in for a quarterly drawing for a $200 gift card in addition to the other things that go along with it. That kind of those funds really help us to forecast what we do, what we can do, because we know that that money's coming in every month or every pay period by your commitment and your generosity. And we really appreciate that. But we need to look at those funds and look at trying to build up those funds. So we're going to have a drawing leading up to our national convention. And we'll award it at our national convention. And that is going to be whoever signs up for payroll deduction or OPM annuities to SPAC. And the information is always on the website and it's posted in every magazine, the instructions for how to do that. For every $5 increments, you'll get an entry into this drawing for an iPad. And it's two iPads. One is going to be for those who enroll in payroll deduction. The other one will be for those who enroll through OPM, retirement annuities. So you'll be entered in that drawing based on either increasing your amount by $5 or in $5 increments. Every $5 increment is one entry. Or signing up for either of the two. $5 and or increments of $5. Each one is a one entry. Increments of $5 for an entry.
I want to remind our listeners for registration for the NAPS Legislative Training Seminar, if you sign up online by April 4th, you will get, and the registration is very simple. It's online. It's on the legislative drop-down, legislative page of NAPS.org. If you sign by April 4th, you will get your packet in the mail with a complete packet plus some gifts. A notepad and pen will be sent to you, and a button indicating that you did participate in LTS. But you got to get it in by April 4th, because after April 4th, we can't guarantee with the processing the way it is in the Postal Service that it's going to get to you by the time the LTS starts. But you'll still be able to participate in everything. All the written material will be online. It's just that I don't think we're going to be able to get to you the pen, notepad and the pen and the button by that period of time. But everything can be done online. Please sign up. And remember, as Ivan said, it's free this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely free. Thank you for reminding me about that, Bob, about that deadline. And we would love to get you all the material out, mailed to you. But if not, as Bob said, you'll be able to go online and see it. We're on our legislative page, as it is every year. All the information you need is there for you to hold your meetings throughout the year. Your talking points, the slides, all the material for the economic impact statements for your district or your state, all that information will be up online and available to you.
Ivan, I want to thank you for joining us on Apps Chat this week, and we'll see you next month, right? Which will be right after the LTS. You'll be back again, unless there's a reason we need to get you on sooner. To our listeners, if you enjoy Apps Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Be well and safe till next week. I'm gonna